How's it going, everyone? And welcome back to the second episode of talking about the Avatar: The Last Airbender. And today I have two special guests. And here we have
Miss Winfrey back again.
And then we also have
Cinder Littell.
And today we're pretty much just going to talk about one of the characters that showed up in the show pretty late to help the Avatar. So what do you guys thought on Zuko?
Oh,
you start.
Please. Where do I even begin? He is the love of my life in every universe. Animated, live action, graphic novels, it doesn't matter. That is my baby, my prince, my fire lord. And I love him a lot. He means everything to me.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think I relate to Zuko the most out of any other character on the show. Just his past and things I went through, I feel like I related to him the most growing up. So I have a lot in common with him.
And what were you guys' thoughts when he started showing up in the show?
In what capacity? Like when he first came in the first episode or when he like joins the gang?
So when he first starts like realizing like he's going to help the Avatar.
Iconic. Iconic. Okay, I'm already ready to get nerdy. Are y'all ready?
Please.
Yes, ma'am, okay. Please.
I love when Zuko finally makes that change in season 3 because if you pay attention, leading up to that, he has many opportunities where he can actually capture Aang, right? Like when he captures him the first episode in the Water Tribe, when he takes him from Zhao in the Blue Spirit episode, when he captures him at the end of season 1, but then there's the blizzard. There's always something that like prevents him from being able to take Aang home. Like he achieves the goal, but he can't take Aang home. There's always something that like diverts him. And it's because it's not his destiny. So when he he thinks that's his destiny, but the universe knows it's not. So when he finally does realize the actual connection that he's meant to have with Aang, it's like, yes, finally. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's one of the most like fulfilling moments is when he finally, that self-actualization that, no, I'm supposed to be the person that helps the Avatar. Like defeat this Fire Lord and let the cycle continue. Right, it's so good. Oh, am I too far?
A little bit.
My bad. But yeah, I think his arc is personally the best in the whole show. I feel like the show is more about him and how he's almost a representation of how the Fire Nation is changing and how it's going to change with Avatar Aang. So yeah,
and really, like really he is such like a foil of Aang in every way. Like they're literally foils of each other. Like obviously Aang's the Avatar, so he has to learn all four elements. But if you notice, like in the final Agni Kai between Zuko and Azula, if you really know your stuff, you will notice that Zuko does some moves that are inspired by the other nations. Like he does a move that's just very clearly airbender. He also does another move that's very clearly earthbender. And so that's like a cool connection between him and Aang. Like, oh, they're each pulling from all four elements. So it's just another connection that I love.
And it kind of ties into what Uncle Iroh told Zuko really early on in the show about pulling knowledge from every nation to be
when he taught him lightning bending. Yeah.
So what were you guys' thoughts when he slowly started losing his fire bending?
That was very interesting. I'll let you start. Go ahead. So that's the Firebending Masters episode, the dragons.
I mean, I don't, because that's also part of his, because at that point, he's helping Aang. He's obviously still very conflicted, which I think is the source of him struggling. Like, he can't get his motions in check, and so he's losing control over that firebending. It kind of just speaks to where he is mentally, right? He's on the verge of becoming who he's supposed to be, but he's still teeter-tottering. Like, it hasn't been decided yet. And until he can self-actualize and become who he's supposed to be, he's never going to have that full control, that full power of his bending. So, yeah, I mean, that's one of the most important parts and moments in the show is, like, where is he going to go? The time has arrived for him to decide.
And I love that the creators made that moment of him losing his firebending. I remember him saying that before his firebending was driven by rage, trying to capture Aang. Well, now that that's not his purpose anymore, he doesn't really have that internal drive fueling his firebending anymore. And that ends up becoming a really important moment because that's when he and Aang then go and find Ran and Shaw, the dragons, and learn from them. And that's when they really become like firebending masters.
They see the beauty of it.
Yeah.
Which is a cool thing.
Yeah. So if the writers hadn't created that moment of him struggling with his bending, we wouldn't have gotten that moment later. They're smart. I love those writers.
And what did you guys think when you guys saw the dragons? Did you guys think that their fate was going to end right there?
Listen, I vividly remember when this episode premiered on television. Okay? Like, we're talking, what was it, 2009? Nine. Something. I was in eighth grade. I remember when that debuted. And I remember watching that episode and just being, like, gobsmacked when the dragons came out. Because, you know, they're making it sound like it's going to be people. Those are the only masters we've really seen other than the badger moles, really. So, yeah, I remember, like, pausing that episode and rewinding it a million times to learn, like, the dragon dance that they were doing. That was such a good episode.
Yeah, I mean, my jaw was on the whole time. Like, the colors that they use for when the dragons come out, their firebending, it's all so good. So good.
So good.
Okay, and then what are you guys' thoughts on his development? Like, obviously, like, he uses fire, like, with, like, rage and everything, and then he realizes the beauty of it. What were you guys' thoughts when you guys started seeing, like, now he's able to, like, perform better using, like, different methods and all that? Like, how did you guys think the show was going to continue on, like, after that?
Well, I think it became pretty clear that he was going to be good from that point on. Because, you know, the season 2 finale, we thought he was going to be good. And then he made that last minute decision and decided to be bad still. But, oh my gosh, I just lost my train of thought. Oh, I was going to say, I think I really like that moment because it harkens back to the continuous theme of, like, balance, right? Like, you can't have too much of one thing. You got to make sure that you're balanced. And that's why his firebending ended up failing, because he was only fueling it from one side. So I like that they taught him the other side of firebending that comes from just, like, the sun and inner fuel and inner drive, because that helped him become a better bender because he was more balanced.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I mean, and again, it speaks to being able to control what you can control. Because through the whole show, he's chasing things that he has no power over. Mm-hmm. And he keeps getting angrier and angrier and angrier because he can't control anything that's really happening around him. But at that point, it's like, oh, that's okay, right? I just need to control me and let me be fueled by the things that matter to me and not get so worried about all these things that are happening.
And do you think, like, it would have to do with, like, the background of his family? The way that he was acting, like, his father, like, just wanted to, like, destroy and everything, while his mother was, like, very, like, noble and everything.
1,000%. And not only just his dad when it comes to their family background, but even some prior ancestors. Okay, I'm about to drop some knowledge again. I mean, it's in the show, so if you've seen the show, you know. But obviously, you know, after Zuko and Azula's mom left, I mean, they're only there with Ozai. And so it's very easy for Ozai to manipulate them, rear them into the firebenders that he wants them to be. But the reason why Zuko struggles so much with that is because of his great-grandfathers. Mm-hmm. You remember who his great-grandfathers are?
I have not seen the show in a while.
So on his dad's side, his great-grandfather is Fire Lord Sozin, the one that started the war to begin with. But on his mom's side, his great-grandfather is Avatar Roku. So, yeah, so that's another, like, connection between him and Aang. Like, Zuko literally has a little bit of Avatar spirit inside of him. You know, he's descended from that. And Iroh tells him, like, that's why he's always having this inner turmoil, because both of those sides are, like, pulling on him. So, yeah, there's a lot of generational trauma going on in that child.
What was the question?
His family, like, his family. How did that... Yeah, how did that impact his bending and just
his personality?
Well,
yeah, it's everything, right? All of that is the reason he is the way he is. The way Ozai can't deal with those feelings of losing, like, his wife running away from him and him not, like, that toxic masculinity just being passed down to his son and that feeling of never being good enough for your father, who's the Fire Lord, and always having to compare yourself to your sister, who's just a naturally better bender. From a very early age, like him finding himself that way, I think, yeah, his family plays every bit of a part of who he is. And thankfully having Iroh there to be a father in Ozai's place, right? Because, I mean, Iroh was supposed to be the Fire Lord, right?
It's, right.
Yeah. Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and I like how it shows how family trauma can impact people in the same house in completely different ways. Because obviously Azula is far more affected by Ozai than Zuko is. And it's because Zuko has Iroh to kind of guide him a little bit, whereas Azula doesn't. So, man, that show is just so good. Because we're all impacted by things differently, and we all process trauma differently. And I just love that part of the show, too.
Like, the one part you can clearly tell is when Azula and Zuko fight.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, towards
which
the end.
Which one? Yeah, the final acting guy?
The final acting guy. And then you can see right there, like, the way, like, she's holding herself up compared to Zuko, where he's, like, calm, composed,
yeah,
and everything. And then you just see her, she's, like, crazy, like, trying to be better than him.
Yeah.
Going crazy completely.
Yeah, she was off her rocker there. And you know what? Okay, I'm going to put a nerdy complaint out there. In that final Agni Kai, Azula was out of her mind, and yet she was still able to lightning bend. Well, I've talked to you about this before already, Mattel. But when Iroh is teaching Zuko how to lightning bend, he says, like, you have to be at complete inner peace. Like, you've got to be have complete sound mind in order to lightning bend. And it's like, okay, well, she was completely crazy. And she could still lightning bend. So I don't know. Mike DiMartino and Brian Konietzko, I need answers on that. But I'll let it go for now.
And what were your thoughts? Go continue with that. What were your thoughts when Zuko deflected his father's lightning?
Oh, dude.
So iconic. Amazing. Y'all couldn't see that, but I really just, like, threw my head back, closed my eyes. Like, iconic moment. Even Ozai was gagged. Like, the look on his face.
The look
when
on
he,
his face.
But also, like, can we talk about how he was straight up about to just kill his son like
right.
that?
Yeah. Not 100%.
Like, what? Didn't even think twice about it.
You know, in a way, he sees his son as, like, his own biggest failure, right? So trying mm-hmm. to just wipe Zuko off the map might save him face. But, but yeah, I mean, that's what the whole show is building to. I find that scene a little bit more impactful than Aang even taking his bending away. It's like,
yeah.
This is Zuko prime.
Yeah, that is... when they invade the Fire Nation. So it's the Day of Black Sun Part 2, one of my top 10 episodes solely for that reason, because you finally get the confrontation between Zuko and Ozai, and it's just like, ugh, finally. It's amazing.
And in that scene, if I remember correctly, they were talking about Zuko's mother, that he banished her, if I remember correctly.
Yes, Ozai told him the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What were you guys' thoughts? Like, what do you think, like, Ozai did to her? Like, I've, like...
Oh, I know. I know what happened. You want to know? So in that show, when Ozai is telling Zuko this story, he tells him that his mother, her name's Ursa, did, like, treasonous, treacherous things, and so she was banished and she was still alive. That's actually true. And Azula was also telling the truth when she told Zuko that their dad was going to kill him. That's true. So what happened was, it was when Ozai asked Fire Lord Azulon to let him be the next Fire Lord instead of Iroh. It was after Lutin had gotten killed. And Azulon thought that was so disrespectful that he was like, well, now you have to kill your firstborn son so that you know what it's like. Obviously, Ursa was not about to let that happen. So she comes from a family of, like, herbalists, people who work with plants and medicine. And she said she could make an untraceable, undetectable poison to kill Fire Lord Azulon so that Ozai could rise to power. And he's like, okay, great, but I want to make sure you don't use that on me later, so you have to go after that. And that's literally exactly what happened. And that's why she just disappeared. But she's still alive, so that's the good part. If you want to know what happened, read The Search, the graphic novel.
Graphic novel is the one thing I haven't read. Like the live action show, I still have yet to see it.
It's good.
It's so good. Did you finish it?
Like episode 5.
Ugh.
We're getting there.
How long are the episodes?
About an hour.
Yeah.
An hour.
Some are like 45 minutes. They're all like between 45 and an hour, yeah.
Okay. And then going back, what were you guys' thoughts when, I think it's Bumi, his name if I remember, when he takes Zuko to go see Iroh again, when he's there to apologize?
Oh,
it's heartbreaking, dude. The things he says to Iroh is like...
That's in the finale. So I think that's the second episode in the finale, the Old Masters. Mm-hmm. That part, I mean, I like tear up every time.
Oh, yeah.
Like, depending 100%. On the day, like, I always tear up, but sometimes I still like ball crying, depending on what's going on. I mean, that part is so good.
It's one of my favorite episodes. Like, that, again, that connection, that father that was always there, but maybe he never acknowledged until that mm-hmm. point. It's just like, oh. Mm-hmm.
Especially with Iroh losing, like, his only son and
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then Zuko there and then, like, apologizing for everything he did and then saying that, oh, like, I'm glad you found, like, your destiny, mm-hmm. like your path and you did it on your own and everything.
Yes, that part is so satisfying. Mm-hmm. He's like, I was never angry with you. I was just sad because I was scared you'd lost your way. And I just mm-hmm. love that so much. And I really like that moment because I think it teaches a lesson in open communication between parents and children.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, kids can understand a lot. And I mm-hmm. feel like kids learn a lot about processing emotions and communication from their adult figures. And mm-hmm. I just feel like that moment in the show is so important because it shows how you can communicate with your child. Because, I mean, mm-hmm. adults have feelings and emotions mm-hmm. and get upset too.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that moment. I'm about to cry. No, I'm not.
You're making me well up a little bit.
No, but that, honestly, like, as you said, depending on the day, if I were to ever see that episode again, I would tear up right there. Because, as you said, like, it shows, like, the bond. It's, like, sometimes you don't realize what you have. Like, and him realizing, like, everything that he's done and everything. Just for, like, Iroh to see, like, to him to follow his destiny, not follow what his father
mm-hmm.
wanted him to inherit was, like, just spot on right there. Perfect. Which is the one thing I loved.
It's beautiful.
And then going back to that, what are your thoughts when he escaped, though? Iroh from the prison.
Some of the hardest scenes.
Legendary. Legendary.
When
yeah.
when he disrobes that first time, you see jacked Iroh.
And starts doing pull-ups with one arm.
Or the fire breath push-ups, dude.
Yes. He was literally doing a pull-up with one arm while eating an apple with the other hand. It's like, what the heck? And then when he finally busted out, Zuko went and looked for him. He's like, where's my uncle? They were like, he busted himself out. It's like nothing I'd ever seen. They called him a one-man army. Man, in the live action, I hope we actually get to see him bust
out.
I hope
we do that.
Because in the cartoon, we don't. And that would be fire.
And then going a little bit off topic from Zuko, this is just a question I want to add. What are you guys' thoughts on the final battle of Ozai versus Aang?
The most satisfying final boss level of any show, movie, game. Like, I mean, they know that we've been waiting the literal whole series, mm-hmm. right? We've been waiting like 60-some episodes at that point. It's the literal last episode. And that battle total, like if it's not cut, it's like 12 minutes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like they knew they really had to cook on that one. They knew they really had to give us something worth waiting 60 episodes for. And it was fire.
Yeah,
no,
it's another
pun
one
intended.
Of those. Like you said earlier, I remember exactly where I was when I watched that episode. Like, I was at my grandparents' house. I had waited. Like, we're watching Nick all day long because they were showing reruns of episodes leading up to that. Best payoff of any show I've ever seen.
Yes.
Like, it's literally perfect, right? The fact that he doesn't kill him, even though Yang Chen's like, nah, you gotta ice that guy, right? But, like, does it in the most air nomad way possible, like, it's just beautifully written, and other than him ending up with Katara is a perfect ending to the show.
Yeah, I also am a Zutara stan. I think Zuko and Katara should have gotten together. I hope that also happens in the live action.
I agree.
Would really feed my soul if that happened. It would. Like, 10-year-old me
they deserve
will really
each other,
awaken.
It's like Harry ending up with Jenny, dude. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, like, why? Like, the
they're
clear
friends.
Option is right there.
Yeah.
It's weird.
They're not even close, like, kind of close in age, but, like, they're not emotionally there. It doesn't make sense to me. Like,
and, listen, I'm going to get controversial.
Uh-oh.
Aang should have killed the Fire Lord. I'm sorry. I understand that's not in him. I understand that's not who he is. Everybody's like, well, he's the last of his people, so he wants to keep his culture alive. I don't care. This man has killed millions of people.
Yeah, committed genocide against every nation. Like,
no, if anybody deserves death, it's him. And I hope that he kills him in the live action.
And what were your thoughts when you saw him starting to take his, like, firebending away, but and then he was like so close to like losing it, but then right at the end he takes it away completely.
I remember first watching it because that's like the first time that they even introduced that concept is when it's happening. Mm-hmm. So I remember watching it when it premiered on TV and being like, what the freak is this? Like, they're just making up stuff now.
It kind of felt like a cop out almost because, you see all the turtle stuff then in that episode. I was like, oh, okay.
And I remember reading that they did want to introduce the lion turtle earlier on in the series, but just that animation capabilities weren't there to like make it look how they wanted, and they said even the final lion turtle wasn't really what they wanted it to be. I'm like, well, what were y'all planning? Because that was crazy.
And then what were your also thoughts when he when Aang went into his full state, like when he hit himself in the back?
Got poked in that back. Man. Avatar state loading. I remember just being so hype as a kid. Like, it's over for you, Ozai. You're done.
Like, Ozai is over here like, oh, I'm going to kill you and everything. And then, like, out of nowhere, Aang just hit, like, he gets hit in the back. And he just, like, in this full state, like, obliterating him, like, completely.
Reaches out and grabs him by the beard. And then with his wrist, he just, like, deflects Ozai's firebending. It's like, man, pack it up. Like, pack it up. You are not winning this battle, bro, even with this comet. Because that's what people forget. Like, Aang was benefiting from the comet, too, for his firebending. So it's like, you really think you're about to beat an avatar that also is benefiting from this comet? Be so not, for real.
Not even close. Okay, well, I think that's all for now. I know I asked you this question, but I want to ask Mr. Littell, our guest. And I just wanted to ask you, if you had to rate Avatar out of 10, what would you rate it?
The animated version?
The animated version.
It's a, I mean, it to me is a perfect show. Like, there are, like, tiny issues I might have, but, like, it's one of the most cohesive, well-written show. Like, everything is planned out, and everything that happens matters in every episode.
Yeah.
Like, it, everything affects everything. I really can't think of another show that's that well-written, either live action or animated. Like, even though it's geared toward kids, it's so deep, speaks so many truths about human nature, relationships, communication. I think everyone should watch it. Literally everyone. They should have to watch it because it's that good.
Now, I also like Miss Winfrey, but if you had to choose between Avatar The Last Airbender and The Legend of Korra, which one would you think is better?
You don't know that we feud on this a little bit. Because she's a ride-or-die Korra fan. And,
yeah, that's my wife.
As much as I love Korra, I still prefer the original. Just because season two of Korra, I think, is personally worse than any book in
Bro,
the original.
Bro, why are you bringing up old stuff? You're bringing up old stuff right now.
So, yeah, I think Korra is excellent. I'd say it's like a 9.9 out of 10. And the original Avatar is a perfect 10 out of 10.
Okay, wait, I gotta be petty.
Here we go.
So, Avatar The Last Airbender is only 3 seasons, but Legend of Korra is 4. So if you take book 2 out of it, and you're just talking about seasons 1, 3, and 4 of Legend of Korra.
Here's what I will say. I think Korra has higher highs because I think season 3 of Korra is probably the best season of anything Avatar ever.
Hands down.
Because it's so good, dude. It's the villains are so fire. What's Zaire? Is that the
Zaire?
Oh, God, dude. But he's sucking air out of people's lungs.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. But, yeah, I still think season 2 is lower than anything from the show also. So in a way, it balances out.
He's right. He's right. I can be objective. He's right.
Yeah, well, I think that's everything. I just want to thank my two special guests, Ms. Winfrey and Mr. Littell.
Thank you.
Do you guys have any final words?
Watch the live action this weekend, or I will write you up on Monday.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate you.
All right. Well, thank you for hearing, guys. And that's all for now. And I'll see you guys in the next one.